The open fire roars. Its burning timbers crackle, with small embers jumping out onto the hearth, near the three strange circles that are painted on the floor in front of the ancient fireplace. Someone moves a chair from the table where you are sat and moves it to another table. They sit down and eat. You suddenly hear a shout, "Out!" that fills the room. You look around the room, looking for the source of the voice, when the figure of an old lady, dressed in a white gown, glides across at speed across the room. You can see the anger in her face. The room becomes calm, but everyone feels on edge. You have just witnessed one of the ghosts at the Fleece Inn in the small village of Brepferton. A 600-year-old building that started out as a farmhouse after the Black Death and became a pub during the reign of Queen Victoria. Welcome to Ghost Tales by the Fireside. Brepferton is a small village just outside of Evesham in Worcestershire. In a Saxon document from 709, Brepferton was spelt pretty much the same, apart from the U in the tun, meaning an enclosure or village. The village was owned by Evesham Abbey and was used as farmland. Evesham Abbey was found in 710 by Saint Egwin, after hearing of a vision near the River Avon. Egwin had noble ancestry, descending from the Mercian kings. As a child, he was forced to practice combat to make him ready for battle when he became old enough. A duty for one with royal blood. Egwin was reluctant to do this, as he preferred to spend time with his tutor, a monk who would teach him about the life and miracles that were performed by Christ and the saints. Egwin would daydream about performing miracles and being a saint. At the age of 14, Egwin's father gave him to the local monastery as a novice, as he would have been no good in battle. Egwin loved monastery life. He enjoyed the strict timetable and studying more about Christianity. As he became older, Egwin decided to live as a hermit in the deep woodlands of Worcestershire. Word soon spread about this hermit of the woods, and he gained a reputation for his holiness. People would flock to him to listen to what he had to say and to perform miracles. In 693, the Bishop of Worcester died, and the Mercian king, Ethelred, demanded that Egwin should take his place as the third Bishop of Worcester. Egwin was very distressed and reluctant to take this role, as he was happy in the woods, but he didn't have a choice. After becoming bishop, he noticed that the people of Worcestershire were still following many of the old pagan ways, and it was time for them to learn and follow the morals of Christianity. Egwin was so harsh to the people that he drove them all away, including some nobles, who sent word out to the Pope, who suggested that he should take a pilgrimage to Rome. Before he left for Rome, he paid a blacksmith to create shackles for his legs, to make it a struggle to walk, to make the journey more difficult. He then threw the key into the River Avon, and said that only when God proves his innocence will the shackles be removed. When he finally reached Rome, he visited the tomb of St. Peter to pray, whilst his companions fished in the River Tiber. One of them caught a salmon, and when gutting the fish, a key fell from its belly. They tried it on Egwin's shackles, and they became loose, freeing him from his chastity. This was seen as a sign from God, and the Pope forgave him. When Egwin returned to Worcestershire, he was given land by the newly crowned King Kendred, who succeeded King Ethelred. The land he was given was called Heathum, and he placed four hordesmen to form the land. The area became known as Eofsholm, meaning Eof's home or Evesham, Eof being the name of the leader of the herdsmen. One day, Eof approached Egwin, claiming he'd seen a vision of the Virgin Mary at the bank on the River Avon, in the same place that Egwin had thrown the key for his shackles. Upon visiting the site, Egwin experienced the same vision of the Virgin Mary. Egwin ordered that an abbey should be built on that spot. The abbey prospered and acquired much farmland in the area, including Brepperton. After the Great Plague of the 14th century, 50% of England's population had died. Up until this point, the country had been run by a feudal system, known as serfdom, where people worked for food and shelter. Due to the loss of so many lives from the plague and the high taxes to fund the Hundred Years' War, the people of England rebelled and marched to London to demand lower taxes and freedom to work for themselves, not just for the local barons. It is from this situation that the small cottage that became the Fleece Inn came into being. The first inhabitant of the cottage is unknown, as records were only kept for nobles. The rest of the population were unimportant. The first people recorded as living in the cottage was Henry and Mary Bird, with their son, also called Henry, who was baptised at the local church of St Leonard's on the 6th of April, 1628. The surname was first recorded in 1543 with the baptism of Michael Bird, the son of William Bird, but it wasn't recorded where they lived. Henry Bird was the sixth great-grandfather of Lola Taplin, who was the last of the family to own the Fleece Inn until 1977, when she died and the building was left to the National Trust. The cottage has had many changes since it was first built as a single-room medieval longhouse. Originally, it was a very basic building with just four walls and a roof, with a section to keep cattle. The cottage was extended in many ways, but you can still make out the original structure. The farmhouse became an inn on the 4th of February, 1839, when Joseph Bird died. When Joseph Bird died in 1826, his youngest son, Henry, took over the farm at the age of 22. Henry got married to Anne Slade. They had seven children, four sons and three daughters. It was Henry who first opened the cottage as a pub and named it the Fleece after the years of sheep farming. Henry died in 1858 and his widow Anne took over the pub until her death in 1893, aged 88. Over the next 120 years, the pub was run by the women in the family, all named Anne after Henry's wife. Henry and Anne's daughter, also named Anne, married a local man called Owen Phipps. She was widowed after only 7 years of marriage. Anne Phipps moved back in with her mother to help run the pub and took over after her mother had died in 1883. She remained as landlady until her death in 1930, aged 91. Anne Phipps also had a daughter named Anne, who married a man called Alfred Taplin, who both lived at the pub and run the pub after her mother's death, from 1930 to 1947. Anne and Alfred's daughter, Lola Taplin, then took over the pub, the last in line of Henry Bird's descendants to own the old medieval farmhouse. Lola was known to be a very stern lady. The pub was well kept, orderly, and was always clean and tidy. She served ale, homemade cider, and other drinks, but always refused to serve food or allow it into the pub. Not even bar snacks. Just like her mother, grandmother, and great-grandmother before her, she wouldn't tolerate any bad behaviour in the pub, and any customers who did misbehave were soon thrown out. From the 1950s, it was fashionable for celebrities to have a favourite country pub away from London. To give it their patronage, they would allow their photo to be taken with the landlord and regular customers. The Fleece was one of these pubs and had regular celebrity visitors, including MacDonald Hobley, Clark Gable, Bob Hope, Francesca Annis, and Betty Davis. When Betty Davis was signing an autograph for Lola, Lola said, "Who's she when she's after him?" Lola passed away in 1977, aged 83. She left the pub in the care of the National Trust. Around 20 years before Lola was born, in 1893, a vine was planted that stood against the wall in the courtyard. As Lola grew up, she would watch it blossom and grow as the years went by. On the day she was buried at St. Leonard's Church, like her family before her, the vine was in full bloom. Around a month later, the vine withered and died. Before the pub reopened after Lola's death, some repair work needed to be done. It was lunchtime and the workmen sat down to eat. During their lunch break, they took a walk around the village to look at the historic buildings. When they returned to the pub, their lunch boxes had been opened and their sandwiches had been thrown around the pub. They knew that they had locked the door behind them when they left, so no one could have entered the property. It is well known that Lola never let food into the pub. A landlord who had the pub during the 1980s and into the 90s experienced a lot of activity. At night, he would hear furniture being moved around, but when he would investigate with his dog, there was never anyone there, but the dog would bark and have his hackles up. The locals believe it's Lola moving the furniture back to where she liked them to be, as she was very particular about where they went when she was alive. The clock in the brewhouse would stop at 3 a.m. every morning. Lola was believed to have died at 3 a.m. Every time the dog went into the brewhouse, he would put his hackles up and bark. Lola's rocking chair was placed in the pewter room. The alarm would go off on regular occasions until the chair was moved, which was near the alarm. Lola used to put white flowers on the table every day. When the landlord put white flowers out, they would wilt. On the hearth in the pewter room, there are three painted circles in front of the fireplace. Lola carried on this tradition, passed down through the family. They were chalked on every morning, believing to stop witches entering through the chimney. Every November, a traditional ghost is celebrated at the Fleece. Legend tells of a cattle driver named Spot Loggin, who fell down a well at Bretfordton House Farm in the 17th century. Locals say that if you run around the well three times blindfolded, you will lose any possessions that you are carrying. Spot Loggin is the local name for a ghost. Perhaps the name originated in Bretfordton. There is a monument in the church to a Robert Loggin, who died in 1688, but is not visible anymore. The fields around the church are known as Woman's Close. A legend tells of a ghostly woman who walks around the fields in the night, carrying her head under her arm. It is believed that this could have been the site of her murder. People have reported seeing a funeral procession coming from Western Subedge to Bretfordton Churchyard. A phantom coach is also said to be seen travelling from Littleton to Bretfordton, going across ditches and through hedgerows, maybe taking the path of an ancient trackway. If you would like to find out more information about the Fleece Inn in Bretfordton, log into the Facebook page www.facebook.com/ghosttalespodcast, where you'll find a few links. You can also find us on Instagram, instagram.com/ghosttalespodcast. All music, research, writing, production, art and sound effects are all my own work.